Good morning. My name is Tamia, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the MBPE Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. John Boozer. You may begin your conference.
Thank you, Tamia. And thank you to everybody who's joined us this morning. This is John Boozer, and I'll also be joined by Paul Daggett in doing this June investor call for MBPE. So if you all have the presentation, on page two, you'll see the objective and strategy of MBPE, which is to give the investors an opportunity for capital appreciation and current income by investing in private equity-backed companies across their capital structure. We use the resources of Neuberger Berman's $45 million-plus private equity platform, and we do this with lower all-in costs to investors than other listed private equity vehicles, largely because we're investing directly into assets rather than through managers. If you flip on to page three, you'll see an overview of the manager's private equity platform. You see the different types of investments we make on the platform, but in particular, the focus of MBPE is on co-investments and private debt. These are done by a team of experienced investors. We have over 115 dedicated private equity investment professionals within Neuberger Berman, and we have offices globally in seven cities. Page four, some significant changes that you probably are all aware of that have happened over recent months. Full voting rights have been granted to the Class A shareholders. The Class A shares are admitted to trading on the premium segment of the main market of the London Exchange last month. The quote of the shares on the London Stock Exchange has been redenominated into sterling. However, there is no changes in the reporting currency of NBPE, the U.S. dollar. On May 31st, FTSE Russell announced that we qualified for inclusion in the FTSE UK Index Series and expecting full inclusion there later this month. Prior to the listing, Chris Sherwell, who had served MBPE very well for a decade, has resigned as the director, and a new director, Trudy Clark, was appointed as director of the company. So we're very pleased to have Trudy on board and thank Chris for his outstanding work over the last decade. And finally, the 2017 ZDP shares that remained outstanding came to their full maturity and were fully redeemed. That leaves us the single class of 2022 ZDP shares outstanding. Just a few performance highlights before I turn it over to Paul to go in more depth into the nuts and bolts of the performance of NBPE. See on the upper left the trailing 12-month through the end of April performance. 17.8% NAV per share total return and a 32.7% share price total return during the trailing 12 months. At the lower left, you see the cash flows for the last 12 months, during 2017 year to date. And you see they've been about even inflows and outflows, $95.6 million of distributions coming back to NBPE from investments that we've made. If you add the amount funded to investments and the amount of dividends paid of 12.2, you'll see that's almost the exact same amount of outflows during the first month of this year. The capital position on the upper right, our private equity fair value is $778.6 million. And because we have very little commitments other than those that we make directly into companies, we have a commitment coverage ratio that makes us on very, very secure footing of 938%. And again, we continue to pay semi-annual dividends. We paid the dividend at the end of February of this year. Currently, our dividend yield based on our share price is 3.9%, and based on our NAV, the dividend yield is 3.2%. So with that high-level overview of the results, let me turn it over to Paul to go into some more detail. Paul?
Thank you, John. So I'm on slide six, which is the MBPE NAV update, and this looks at the summary balance sheet. Just a few things to note on this page. First of all, you can see that the first two lines, income investments and equity investments, income investments has been a steady number. It has come down a little bit in the last 12 months due to realizations, but we are continuing to make investments in that space. And equity investments is a place we've been actually fairly busy, which you can see the number has increased so far this year. It's also increased significantly since April 2016, and I'll talk about some of the new investments a little bit later. That means we're at 100% invested today, which is a level which is slightly lower than we would ideally like. We do have a one class of ZDP still outstanding, as John described, so we do have the ability to be more like 110 to 120% invested, which would be our ultimate goal. On that ZDP point, John mentioned that the 2017s have been redeemed. That actually happened at the end of May, so it's not reflected in these numbers, which are as of April. So that would mean, once we've done that, our cash balance is about $64 million available for investments, and we also have the credit facility of $150 million available to us. Moving on to slide seven and just a high look at what's in the portfolio, and the top two pie charts tell you that we are focused at the moment in this portfolio in North American small and mid-cap companies. As we often describe, that really is a bottom-up portfolio construction where we've seen some really interesting opportunities. And again, I think that will come across when I talk about the new investments. Industry on the bottom left is very well diversified. Technology remains our biggest exposure. And then in terms of vintage year, I think it's a very healthy looking chart in that almost 80% of our investments have been made since 2013, which tells you that we've been good at realizing investments and reinvesting that money steadily as it's come back to us. The average age, for example, of the equity co-investments today is 3.2 years. So again, a good number, I think, in that there is some maturity in that, but not too much maturity, which ultimately is usually something you don't want to see a huge amount of NAV in the 2006, 7, and 8 area, which is something which is not the case with us. On slide eight, we look at over the last 3 years, or 3.5 years almost, our investment activity and liquidity. In 2014, you can see we were net investors. 2015 and 16, quite different, where we had net distributions back to us, primarily driven by those income investments being realized, in most cases, through refinancings with some ultimate exits of those companies as well. Thus far this year, in the first 4 months, we're fairly well balanced, but you can see that if you were to assume that pace continued for the rest of the year, we would have about $250 million of investments versus almost $300 million of realization. So in line with historical norms in terms of those distributions and an investment pace that's actually a little bit quicker than we've seen in the last 2 years. We'll see if that continues for the rest of the year. On page nine is a summary of our equity portfolio. So where we are today is a $487 million of fair value and 77 investments. Those investments that are valued based on an EV to EBITDA basis saw a 5% revenue growth and 7% EBITDA growth during 2016 and are valued at 10.3 times EV to EBITDA with a 4.7 times net debt to EBITDA. So, you know, we see it as a portfolio that is growing nicely, valued at a reasonable level, with a reasonable level of leverage in that portfolio. On the right, we show the largest 10 investments on the equity side. Three of those are public, as you can see. So these are all companies we invested in when they were private, have subsequently been taken public. And actually, if you look at our portfolio in equity, direct equity, almost 13% of it is in publics today. Which tells you that over time there will be some liquidity from those, so we expect to see a reasonable amount of liquidity continue. On that point, I'll come to in a minute, Patheon has actually recently, it's been announced that it will be acquired. Capsugel, also on this page in the healthcare space, was announced earlier this year, is being acquired. So, again, we do expect to continue to see liquidity coming from this portfolio, and we've been very pleased with its performance. On page 10, and talking about realizations and announced exits, the top three investments have all been completed this year. Deltek is a technology company, a software company. Evans is in the transportation area, and Gabe's is a discount retailer. All three were sold. The aggregate multiple of invested capital on those investments is 5x money, which obviously we're very happy with, is a very good outcome across those investments. And there's also three other investments that you can see at the bottom of the page, which have been announced, have not yet been completed, so are subject to closing conditions. Patheon and Capsigel, I mentioned, have been announced that they're being acquired by Strategics. And then Advanced Pierre is a company that's actually in the fund portfolio, but is a significant position, and it's been announced that Tyson Foods is acquiring that company, which had already been taken public. So, again, nice to see that coming through in the fund portfolio, that there's a liquidity and a good outcome in that particular investment. On to 11, and just looking at some aggregate numbers to give you an idea, first of all, on the scale and quality of our exits over the last 3 years, and then on the right is some information around valuations. So to start on the left, you can see that in 2015 and 16, we exited our equity investments on average at about 2x money. I mentioned 2017 year-to-date has been a lot better than that. Obviously not necessarily what we'll always expect to see, but good to see those three in 2017. Then looking over the same time period on the right and looking at the valuation uplift on exits, which does include IPOs in this, so those are ultimately not complete exits, but they give you an idea as to the public price of those investments. You can see that the uplift between when exit was announced and the ultimate price it was realized at, we've seen an uplift of about 31% during that time period. So again, part of that is the illiquidity discount that's built into valuations that ultimately has been realized over the last 3 years once those exits have been completed. So again, just one look into the valuations that we've had in our portfolio versus where things have been sold. On 12 looks at our new equity investments in 2017, and we've been very busy. Six have so far been completed in 2017 year to date. Rather than talk about each investment, just to give you some idea of the types of investments, these are all mid-market North American investments. They vary in size from about just under 100 million enterprise value up to 780 million enterprise value across these. So they're all in the mid-market to lower mid-market. Four of these six are really buy and build approaches, where part of the value creation is expected to come from consolidating a market and making accretive acquisitions in a larger platform. So one approach in a very competitive private equity market to creating value is that buy and build approach, and we've seen a lot of interesting opportunities in that area. And then two of them are more based on the fundamental growth that is expected to be seen in the markets that they operate in. So again, all right down the middle of the fairway of what we focus on in our equity investments, all in different sectors, as you can see, with different sponsors. So continuing to add to the diversification in the portfolio, but more importantly, six investments we're very excited about and pleased to be participating in. Onto the income portfolio on page 13. There are 33 investments in the income portfolio with 144 million of fair value today. Those investments have a 10.5% cash yield, and there's 5.6x total leverage in those investments. Importantly, the 84% of this is in floating rate debt, and most importantly of all are the statistics in the bottom left of this page, which describe the types of companies we look to invest in the income, in the debt of, which is mostly second lien. These are asset-like companies in market-leading positions with high equity cushions, high EBITDA margins, and 100% of these are in performing credits today. On 14, we look at the new investments in the space, and obviously, if you look at the cash yield on each of these, they are below the average in the portfolio. So one thing we have seen is some yield compression. It's a competitive market, and we will look to, from time to time, invest at lower yields than that average, as you can see here. These are all credits that we are very happy with, and we think that there is a fair price that we're being offered in these. And so I'd say, One point is that we are not in a hurry to invest if we don't like the risk return on offer in all four of these. Clearly we do, but you have seen the income portfolio reduce in size over the last year. That is a market feature, and it's a feature of us being disciplined with our underwriting. It's not that we couldn't have invested that capital, it's that we've generally chosen not to. But four examples here of companies in different industries, again with different sponsors, where we feel that these are good credits, and as I mentioned, that we think we're receiving the right return for the risk we're taking on these investments. So there are investments out there, but we are being selective in this particular space, in this market environment. And with that, I'll hand it back to John to talk about the performance.
Thanks, Paul. So we're up to page 15 of the presentation, and here we list by the type of investment, whether it's equity income or the remaining fund portfolio, the returns for the last several years. You can see by far the largest part of our value today is in direct equity investments is for the reasons Paul's been describing. You can see whether it's last 12 months, 3-year or 5-year returns, those investments have performed as a group very well. The income investments also have performed well. The last 12 months, 17.1% investment or return on the income investment is increased by our ability to do some transactions in income investments in the secondary market. And then finally, the fund portfolio continues to widen down. You see it has last 12 months and 3-year and 5-year returns that are not as good as the other two categories, but to be expected as this amount becomes a smaller and smaller part of our portfolio. And also as those funds go away, they'll cease to be any second layer of fees caused by the funds as we do everything else directly, both the equity and the income investments. Page 16 talks about the share price and the net asset value performance for the company. So looking at net asset value performance first, you see on a 1, 3, 5-year basis, very strong performance, and the share price, 32% increase since last year, 43% over 3 years. So there's been, especially in the last 12 months, a very good uptick in the share price, and the discount has steadily come down from over a year ago. The dividends and capital position are outlined on page 17. And you see our ability to pay a dividend is very well covered. For example, in the trailing year, the net increase in the net asset value before the dividend was per share over $2, and the dividend is 50 cents per share. So there's a 4x coverage in profitability relative to the amount of dividend we paid. You also see that about 60% of the dividend, even with our smaller current debt position, was covered by income from the yield portfolio. And then we have some share information on the next page, page 18. The top line represents the NAV per share when you include the dividends that have been paid over time, so a total of $18.04. The next line is the current NAV per share at April 30th, 1595. And then you also see the trading price as of April 30th, but the price has increased to the dollar equivalent of about $13.80 today, so up over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And then finally, on page 19, we continue to believe that NBP offers a very compelling investment opportunity. We're focused on, and we think we're delivering, as you can see in these pages, capital appreciation and growth from equity investments. The income, we create an attractive dividend twice a year for our investors. We have a very strong capital structure and full commitment coverage. So as a result, we're in a position when we see the opportunities to increase, as Paul said, from 100% covered up to that 110 to 20% more targeted range, we will when we see the right investment opportunities. Our fee structure is very attractive. By investing directly in investments generated by the Neuberger platform, we allow lower all-in fees than investing directly into LP funds. We recently granted those full voting rights to the Class A shareholders and transitioned to the premium segment, which we think will make some amount of increased demand for our shares, as well as inclusion in the FTSE indexes will do the same. So we tried to take many steps over the last few months after a lot of planning that went into those steps to make this stock even more attractive, along with the performance we've been having on our investments. So with that, we'd be happy to open it up, operator, for any questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first question comes from the line of Charles Murphy with Panmure Gordon.
Hi, good morning. I've got a bundle of questions, so I'll ask a couple, bounce away and come back. Can we just start on the income portfolio? How much refinancing activity have you seen in FY17 as the first lien market has quite frankly gone a bit bonkers from my perspective, and I was expecting to see possibly more refinanced away in the second lien market as well. Can you just talk about what's going on there? So refinancing and repricing is where I'm coming from.
Yes. Paul, do you have the stats on what's happened in our portfolio thus far?
Yeah, I don't have stats in front of me as of this year. It's something we can try to include in future presentations, but clearly our portfolio is somewhat smaller at this point, so the bigger thing for us is less what's happened this year and more what happened in 2016, where, as I mentioned, we just had a huge amount of liquidity as people were either refinancing or, in the case of the portfolio that we have, there have been companies that have been performing very well. So in some cases, it's not even refinancing as much as, not putting more second lien in, but changing the capital structure. And we also had quite a few outright realizations in the portfolio where the company was sold. So it's a mixture of all those things for us, and I'd say look, it's a very healthy market in mid-market private equity companies where we've seen a lot of activity, and a lot of that has been refinancing. But I can try to get some statistics included in a future presentation.
That would be great. Just sticking with this, in terms of how much of this paper is priced at par or a little above par?
Yeah, if you look at the back of the presentation, then with page 22, then we give the OIDs, the original issue discount on all of the companies. And so that's obviously at the time of issue. Is that your question, or is it about around valuations?
It's around valuation because we've seen yield as well, basically, or as you were saying in your presentation, you've had to take lower coupons on some new stuff. Is this being reflected in the valuations here? And
no,
the portfolio is above par.
So the way we do our valuations is we first of all look at the basically do an equity valuation to make sure the equity is in no way impaired. And assuming that is the case, then in the majority of our positions, then we hold it at the original price with the amortized OID included. There are some cases where through a pricing service, we're able to discover what the price in the market is for investments, and obviously we do some secondary trading as well, both buying and selling occasionally. But those really, I think, have all been marked downs. Well, not necessarily marked downs, but prices where we're less than 100%. So the quicker answer is we're not marking the portfolio up because yields are lower today. We're holding things in a more conservative manner and more in line with how private equity valuations work.
Okay. Shall I circle away? I don't know what your queue looks like and come back to let someone else ask a question.
You can finish with yours if you have them ready.
All right, okay. I do. Can I just confirm the fee structure? Is the hurdle, apart from the fund of funders exposure where there's a different fee structure, is it really just 7.5% carry and 1.5% asset net fee?
Yeah, the asset manager fee is 1.5% and the carry is 7.5%.
Above a 7.5% hurdle annually.
Yeah.
There is a 7.5% hurdle.
Yes.
And has that got a full catch up on the carry?
Well, the hurdle's it's an annual calculation.
Yeah.
And it also has a high water mark, which mm-hmm. is not currently relevant, was relevant back, say, in 2009.
Yeah. Okay, so let's ask a different question. Is it 7.5% of the gain in excess of the hurdle, or 7.5% of the gain if the hurdle is met?
It's 7.5% of the full gain if the hurdle is met.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm that. And just the EBITDA growth, you're reporting sensible numbers for your portfolio, which is great to see. I think S&P have been reporting that quarterly EBITDA growth has tailored off in the sort of public leveraged loan market. Have you getting any indication that this is something that's going to be repeated in your portfolio? I'm not sure what you're allowed to say, but have you seen those reports?
So, we do each quarter a thorough evaluation of each of our holdings, mm-hmm. Particularly relevant, although relevant to the debt holdings, very relevant to the valuation of the equity holdings. So, when we put out our quarterly update, of the NAV. They reflect all the information that we have. Now, you actually get in-depth information company by company on a quarterly basis, not so much on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So, at the moment, you're unable to say whether the sort of the dip that S&P is reporting is going to be reflected in your portfolio as well, is what you're saying at the moment. But if I wait something might come out. Okay, that's cool.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, I understand the constraints and the information timeline. I was just wondering whether there was a view. That's it from me. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from a line of Ian Scholar with Stifel.
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Over the last 9 months, we've seen quite a strong re-rating of you.
Ian, at least on my line, you've cut out.
Yeah, same here.
Operator, are you there?
Yes, sir. It looks like his line disconnected.
Okay, well, he must have been about to ask a tough question. So
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star, then the number one. And we do have a question from the line of Robert Maroney with Engineers.
Good morning, Robert.
Hi. Good morning. Just a quick question about some of the you've got a few public companies there. We're delighted. I'd just be curious if there's any chance of that. And then also, what's the outlook for a recovery and extraction oil and gas at NASDAQ XOG? A pretty large position.
So Robert, could you repeat the first part of your question? It kind of cut in and out also.
I'm sorry. I was saying very good news. I suspect your basis in the acquisition price, I guess Thermo Electron, or was it Fisher Thermo, whatever it is going to acquire that, and I wondered if you thought the completion risk on that was pretty low. Good news there. Further to that, though, the largest top 10 investments, Extraction Oil and Gas, wondered what you thought the prospects for recovery of that stock price were.
Yeah, so, I mean, difficult to comment on, I think, the completion risk. It's obviously been publicly announced, and I think as much information as we have is in the public markets at this point. So, you know, it's one that obviously we're hoping will come through towards the end of this year, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, so nothing more to say beyond what's in the public markets on that one, unfortunately. You know, extraction, honestly, it's a little bit similar that once you reach the domain where it's a public company, then our information is the same as the is out there in the public markets. And obviously, the price has been disappointing this year. It's kind of recovered and then fell away again. And the price of oil is part of the story there. And the more company-specific issues, you know, I think are out there in the public domain in terms of research. So look we would hope it could get back to a more successful price. But one thing I will say is that even at the price we're at, then it's a very good investment for us. So we're pleased with how it's done. Particularly, I would point out that this was an investment we did in 2014 before the collapse of oil prices. So to be able to say that and to still be in a position where we're going to have a successful outcome based on today's price, which obviously isn't final, so we're not out of it yet. But if we were to get out of today's price, it would still be an investment where we made a profit. So we're pleased with the underwriting on that. We'd like the stock price to come back to closer to the IPO price, but we'll have to see. So sorry, I can't be more specific around those two, but as I say, we are now in the point where everything is in the public domain because they're public companies.
Thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for this investor call, and we'll look forward to your participation in the next investor call as well. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.